Good morning, Harbor.
Good morning.
Happy Palm Sunday. We hope it's happy all day and not too much snow. But I guess we can't depend on that for our happiness. So happy Palm Sunday. And Pastor Tim is going to give us some instructions about these palms that we're going to wave or walk around the church or something, the first song here.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Once they start singing, if you want to, you don't have to, but I will get up and whoever wants to go around the sanctuary waving their palms can do that. But you can sit and still wave your palms at the same time. So kids, just be... The cue is when I get up here to go like this, you come forward this way and follow me, okay? All right. I mean, I'll just stand here. Go ahead, Karen.
Why don't you stand up?
Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Lord, we lift up your name with hearts full of praise. Be exalted, O Lord.
To worship this morning comes from Psalm 118, verses 19 through 24. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made, and let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Oh,
Good morning, Harbor of Joy. You know, the real Christians come when it's bad weather forecasted. So we're glad that you are here today. And I'll keep an eye on the outside as far as what it's going to be looking like out there. So I'll let you know if a blizzard comes. Okay? But today we are rejoicing and celebrating Palm Sunday. And before you leave, you will know what Palm Sunday really is. Well, just part of it, what it's all about. I had no idea what it meant growing up. We didn't even have palms in the church that I attended. And so it was kind of fun this morning to march around. And some of you were a part of the caravan that we had. It was great to see. Today, we are still meeting today at 5? Okay, all right. If you got any questions, if it's still on, just call Becky Rowe. Yeah, if it's raining, you might want to just rejoice with the rain. We could use that as well, but not the snow. Tuesday is the last Bible study for the ladies, and that's at 9:30 on Tuesday. And they're looking at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so be mindful of that. 11 o'clock, the prayer partners do meet in the library. And did you notice anything different as you came into the church today? It looks a little bit different, doesn't it? You know, so I want to thank the property committee for what you have done, even though they're not completely done. But we're glad what we see, and hopefully no coffee will be spilt today. But somebody here is going to say, I want to be the first one to spill my coffee. I hope there's no one that thinks that way here today. Wednesday, we have the women's luncheon. If you are interested in joining the ladies at the Pizza Ranch, they have the senior price at $12.99 because you eat so much. So, but notice you can have as much as you want there. Pizza, or you can do the buffet type of a thing, what they've got there as well. And if you want to sign up just so that they know how many to expect, there's a sign-up sheet on the refrigerator in the kitchen. But shuffle your feet when you go in the kitchen. It's just, I don't want anyone to slip and fall in there because it's very slick in there today. And so shuffle your feet. If you fall down, it's your fault. Shuffle your feet when you go into the kitchen. You'll be just fine. There is no Lenten supper this Wednesday. And everything else will be normal. The Joy Kids confirmation will be at 5:20. Thursday night, this one could be tough for Al Lickhart. We're having a Monday-Thursday service and having communion. And we also know that Illy is playing the Cyclones that night. I'm not sure what time, though. Do you know? Not either. Yeah. So anyway, if Al's not here, and some of you all aren't here, we know why. But we're going to have a Good Friday service also at 6:30 this coming Friday. We enter Holy Week this week, in case you didn't know that. Remember those in our prayer request. Terry, what's the new, anything new for?
Chris is moving to a long-term care facility.
That's all I know. Okay. Is he still on a ventilator?
No, he's not. He's off everything.
Okay.
He's
not waiting to be there, so. Wow. Well, keep Chris in your prayers, as well as Dorothy Cherry. She's just rather staying at home because she's not has a lot of balance when she gets out and walking around. So she definitely is okay with us praying for her and keeping you posted on what's going on there. We'd like to thank everyone for the Lenten suppers that have been made here during Lent. That's kind of odd. Usually you only have maybe one or two. But we had one every Wednesday night. And so I thank you for those of you that provided those meals and those that helped out as well. We really appreciate that. And something to be mindful of is just that the Cherish Center baby bottles, these things here, they'll be collected now next Sunday. And you can put inside whatever you want, and we'll give those back to the person who will come and collect them here in April. And just to let you know that there is a semi-annual business meeting being held right after church on the 28th of April. That's the last Sunday of April, just so you know that. So let's pray as we continue. Oh, is there another? Oh, yeah. If it's not snowing too hard, they're going to come and clean the office carpeting with a, what do you call it? Carpet cleaner. So we need to clean out of both offices and the copy room, you know, whatever we can, so that they can come in and clean that. They're supposed to come tomorrow. If that happens or not, I'm not sure. It depends upon the weather with that. But the plan is they're going to come. If they don't come tomorrow, they'll come sometime this week. And so what we do today as far as cleaning out those offices would be very helpful if you've got some muscles and a good back. If you've got a bad back, don't come. But we'd appreciate that right after the service here today or after refreshments. I don't know. Is there anybody in charge of doing that? Moving out the things in the offices. Anybody? All right, if not, I guess I am. If you want to help, just come and find me saying you're ready to move things, okay? That'd be great. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning knowing that you are here and that's what is the most important. Lord, we're mindful of Palm Sunday, the things that took place as you entered into Jerusalem on that first day of the Holy Week, we call it. It wasn't called that back then, probably. But we pray, Lord, today that we not only hear what your word says, but that we learn from it. And then what we learn, Lord, you help us to apply it to our hearts and to our lives as well. So we thank you, Lord, for everyone that is here today. Thank you for the ones that are visiting this morning. Thank you for those that are healthy enough to get here. And we do keep Donna Thielber before you, Lord, as she recovers from her hip surgery. We pray for Dorothy Cherry, and we think of Chris as well. A lot of different kinds of needs, some that bring us rejoicing, and there's some that make us just cry inside and humbles us as well. And so, Lord, use all that is said, what is shared today, the music, the words to the music, that they would bless our hearts. And that we would focus on you. We think heavenward today. Help us to do that, because sometimes we get worried about a lot of other things that may happen here after we leave. But Lord, right now, help us to look heavenward and to look to Jesus Christ as our Savior and the one who came because he loves us and cares for us, each one. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Responsive reading follows. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. There is strength in the name of the Lord. There is power in the name of the Lord. We're going to have one song sung by our choir here today. And so those of you who have been practicing, come on up as
as the choir gathers, I just want to explain a little bit about this song that we're going to sing. It's The King is Coming, and it's an old Bill and Gloria Gaither song. And we sing it on Palm Sunday a lot because, of course, our king came into Jerusalem. But this really isn't about that king. It's about the rapture, when Jesus comes again to claim his own. And it's about the rapture. The king is coming. Listen to the words. There's going to be people in the marketplace, and some will be taken, some will be left. So listen to the words, and this is really about the king is coming when he comes to take us all home with him.
I think we should have him sing that again. No, you can go and sit down. Thank you. That takes a lot of practicing. And I just say thank you so much for making that announcement known to us that the King is coming. You are still here today, breathing and alive. And therefore, the invitation has been given already for you to know that he's coming again. Are you ready to meet him? I trust and I pray that you are. Don't make it difficult. It's very easy. It's just to believe and to trust, to receive by faith what Jesus Christ has done for each and every one of us. I invite you to stand as we hear God's word this morning. It comes from John chapter 12. John is in the New Testament, in case you're wondering. Chapter 12 and verses 14 through 19 is what we're going to be taking a look at. Verses 14 through 19 of the 12th chapter of John. Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified, and did they realize that these things had been written about him, and that they had done these things to him. Now the crowd that was with him, when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead, continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had given this miraculous sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." Heavenly Father, these are your words. This is an account that your Holy Spirit has inspired to be written about you for a purpose and for a reason. Is that we need to hear this. We need to know what's going on and what it means for us here today. Pray that that will be such the case, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Being it is Palm Sunday, let's learn from the Bible some things about Jesus that surround his entry into Jerusalem on the beginning of what we call Holy Week. This is Sunday. It's a kind of this is when it happened. He entered into Jerusalem on a Sunday, first day of the week to the Jewish calendar. And we find that Jesus comes riding into Jerusalem on, how does he come? He comes in on what kind of a donkey? A colt. So that means it's one that has never been ridden. Do you know what it's like to get on something that's never been ridden before, an animal? What can you expect? Yahoo! It'd be like the first rodeo. But notice that when Jesus got on this colt, this young donkey, it did not buck. It remained very calm. That doesn't just happen. I have ridden on some young calves. Every one of them bucked. But it was fun. But you can't even get on a young calf without it wanting you to get off of its back. Jesus weighed a lot more than I did when I rode those calves. And when he got on this colt, this young donkey, it did not put up a fuss. Interesting. We have to look at the Old Testament, because there we find a minor prophet by the name of Zechariah, which is the second to the last book in the Old Testament, if you want to find out where it's at. The last book of the Old Testament is what? Malachi. So Zechariah comes right before Malachi in the Old Testament. And this is what Zechariah 9:9 says. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Now, Zion is another name for Jerusalem. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. That's what Zechariah 9:9 says. How many years before Jesus came onto the scene was this written about him? Or was this written? And in case you're wondering, it's over 500 years, probably 520 years before the book of Zechariah was written by himself. So think of that. This is prophecy of something that is to come. The people at this time in the history of Jerusalem and in Israel, the people are looking for someone to come because they have never known what it was like to be without someone dictating to them, being conquered by Rome now. They're under Roman rule, Roman law, Roman government. And they lost out back in 586 when the Babylonians came and took them captive, the ones who were left alive, and took them back to what is modern-day Iraq or Iran. But they have not been able to govern themselves as a people, the people of Israel, till 1948. Think on that one. Could you imagine growing up in a country that was not your own? We have grown up in a country that freedom is a big thing. We still celebrate the 4th of July. The Jewish people had to wait hundreds of years before they could really say, actually, they waited thousands of years before they became their own country in 1948. Let's go back to when Jesus was living. When he comes into Jerusalem, does it sound like he is receiving red carpet treatment? Wherever you go, if someone gets off of a plane, some dignitary today, especially a president or a leader of some other country, when they come down the flight steps of the plane, what do they have laid out for this guy or for her? Usually it's a red carpet. It is a symbol of welcoming, and it's of honoring the person coming into their country from another place, and they want to make it a good welcome. There's a red carpet. They'll probably walk that red carpet. They might get in, you know, today they might get into like a limousine or some kind of a truck and drive off after they've walked on the red carpet. When Jesus comes into Jerusalem, it's so different. When the people heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, it would have been those that were there when Lazarus was raised from the dead. They were people that saw it happen. They saw what Jesus did. And then those people went out to tell everybody else, like, you won't believe this. We just saw Lazarus come back to life, and the people have to go see Lazarus to make sure they weren't telling him a lie. And then they would tell other people. You know how things spread. Word of mouth goes very quickly, faster than a prairie fire here in Iowa. But these were the people who met Jesus because they heard he was coming, who were there that day. Would a king be riding on a donkey into an important city like Jerusalem? Or any kind of a capital. Would a king do that? The answer is absolutely not. He would not be riding a donkey. Any king, if he was going to ride anything, it would be a prancing, powerful horse. Maybe a white one. And he would be decked out to the max as far as what he wore. If he had a feather on top of his crown or his hat, that thing would be flopping down, and he would have all kinds of things that would make him look like an important man. He would have an entourage that would be before him and an entourage that would be behind him. He would have soldiers in front of him, probably soldiers behind him, and they would be on horses, some of them be on foot, and as you would hear them walking by, you could hear their armor being jingled, you'd hear the footsteps, they're all in lockstep as they march by. It would be quite something. And if the people knew that a king was coming to their city, they would all want to at least be there to see what it was like. We think of the king of course, there was no king, was there? He died over in Great Britain. There's been, like a wedding or something like that, or they'd have some celebration. The king rides I've seen him ride in like a carriage, pulled by some powerful horses, amazing horses. Have you ever thought about who takes care of the horses of the king or the queen of England? They do that every day. And how often do they come out and prance around and take the king and queen around or pull them around in their little carriage? Not very often. But somebody has to take care of these horses. You know the black things that they wear over in England? The black hats, they're tall. They're made from bear fur. It's bear fur, or the hide of a bear. And that's why it is kind of like long. And, when they come down on the horse, you'd kind of see that waving or shaking even on their hats over in England. Now, we live in America. When our president goes anywhere, what does he have? A motorcade. Police vehicles. He had flashing lights going on before him. The president is in a limo called the Beast. It is bulletproof. It probably has no air in its tires. I don't know. But it's thick rubber. It's not, it's not what you think it is. It's all for protection. And protection comes because of what happened to John F. Kennedy in 1963, who went down Dallas in a convertible and was assassinated. Since then, the president has always been inside of something, protected. But think of all the fanfare. They stop all the traffic coming on the streets. They make sure that the motorcade has the right-of-way, and they don't have to stop at any red lights. They just keep going through because there's enough cop vehicles. Some are on motorcycles, some are in vehicles, but the lights are going sometimes, the sirens sound off. They're just saying, hey, someone is coming that's very important, and then you'd have the two flags in the front of the Beast, the motorcade where the president is sitting in the car, that's flapping as they go along. And you know that he's inside there. Can you see inside the motorcade, into this car? Answer is, probably not. You just say, I saw the president go by, but I really did not see him or who else was inside the vehicle because it's tinted. The windows are tinted. A lot of change today compared to when Jesus went into Jerusalem. Right? A lot of changes. So I want us to look at, just for a moment, Zechariah's scripture that he said in 9:9 of his book, Zechariah. And I want you to realize how specific what he says there compared to what we know about Palm Sunday today. If you look at Zechariah when he says this, "Rejoice greatly, Let me ask you, are the people rejoicing when they see Jesus coming into Jerusalem? You'd have to go like, yeah, they're rejoicing. How many are there? It just says that there's many people. There's a multitude. We don't know how many that is, but we do know from one of the Gentile, the Roman historians by the name of Josephus, but I think he exaggerates a lot, but Josephus says that when it comes to time for the Passover, which this is what's coming, that's why the people are coming to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. Josephus says there was 2,700,000 people who came into Jerusalem for the Passover. Now, some think he stretched the truth. We have J. Germaeus, who's probably a little bit more down to earth. He would be a Jewish historian way back then. And he said there was 150,000 people who would come to Jerusalem for the Passover. So that gives you the broad brush, and then the smaller brush. It might be somewhere in between, I don't know. But it's a lot of people. Have you ever been in a crowd of 100,000 people? I mean, it's breathtaking. You're just one of the 100,000. I went to Washington, D.C. a number of years ago, back in the 1990s, where they tried to do a million-man march. And it was on the lawn of where the Washington Monument is, and you've got, at the other end was like one of the, is it Lincoln Memorial, and at the other end it was kind of like the White House. It was just that whole stretch in there that was filled with people. And I'm going, I'm not in North Dakota anymore. There's a lot of people. They never did say how many were there, but the intention was to have a million, if not more, there. I would just say, to me, it looked like a million, even if it wasn't. Zechariah says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion." Zion is a reference to who or what? Jerusalem. When you hear of a Zionist, you know, if you're called a Zionist, it just means that you believe that the Jews who live in Jerusalem or in Israel are God's chosen people. And therefore, you need to wake up and pay attention. If they're God's chosen people, then God is always going to be watching over them and helping them. He's done it for thousands of years. Why would he quit now? Jerusalem, it is believed that the Temple Mount sits where Abram took his son Isaac and built an altar there and was going to sacrifice Isaac on the altar on the Temple Mount as we know it today. The Dome of the Rock, which is on the Temple Mount, you can't go in there unless you are Muslim. But it is said that inside the Dome of the Rock, there is a huge rock that it covers. You have to go down to actually see it. Like the basement, it's there. And that is where they believe that Abraham put Isaac and was going to kill him. Now, that was not a small thing. Isaac is what? How many kids did Abraham have? Just one. Isaac. As a dad, would you take him to sacrifice him? Because you notice, Abraham picked up the knife and he really was going to kill his only son. But God stopped him And then he found a ram in the thicket that became the sacrifice and not Isaac. The ram becomes a sacrifice so that Isaac could live. Jerusalem is not a perfect place. But back to Zechariah, what he says, the minor prophet. O daughter of Zion, shout. Now, was there shouting going on when Jesus entered Jerusalem that day? Yep. And we know what they were shouting. It tells us in the scriptures, right above where I read today, it says, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Some were saying, blessed is the Son of David. Some of those names given there or shouted out are messianic words of a king that is to come, a Messiah that is to come. The people are shouting these names and didn't even know what they were shouting. But it fulfilled what Zechariah said over 500 years ago. We're not done yet. It says, see, your king comes to you. Jesus, your king is coming to you. They thought Jesus was the answer to their oppression of the Roman government. And they just thought he was going to come in there, and this was going to be the year that things were going to change for the Israelite people. Remember last week we said that as Jesus was approaching, going to Jerusalem, it says that the people that were going there were afraid. They were afraid that something was going to happen. This could be the year Jesus is going to start some kind of a issue, a problem that the Romans are not going to like. And Pontius Pilate was who? What was his affiliation to Rome? If Pilate messed up one more time, the Roman authorities were going to tell Pilate, you're done. You're out of there. You're not governor anymore in Jerusalem. You're out. So there's a lot of high tension that's happening at this Passover that had never happened before. And we kind of know why, because we see what happens later on that week. Your king comes to you. When does a king come to you? Even when does a president ever come to you? He doesn't. He may come to where you live, but he does not make a special trip to come and say, I'm going to come to your house and I'm going to see you. I want to visit with you today. He comes, and of course, we would kind of want to go and just get a glimpse to see if we could see him. We would be there. And it tells us about this king. Zechariah tells us that this king who comes to you is righteous and having salvation. That is what this king wants to give to each and every person. We know he did nothing wrong. He is righteous. Only he can give salvation. Only he can forgive sins. And it tells us something more about this king. This king is gentle and is riding on a donkey. And it says, on a colt. The foal of a donkey. Now, in researching this and looking at all of this, this is what I found. That a donkey represents an animal of peace. It's a low burdened animal because we know that it's like a pack mule. But we find that Jesus is riding on this colt, this young donkey. And if he's riding, it means that he comes into Jerusalem as a man of peace. Because otherwise he'd be coming in on a stallion prancing, and he would be dressed to the guilt of some kind of war uniform, or just a plain old uniform. But he comes in riding on a donkey. His saddle was what? Was it made out of leather? No. His saddle were the cloaks that were given by the disciples or the people that just put them on the backs of the donkey. And he sat on those. And he rode into Jerusalem. Did Jesus have a caravan of people, an entourage? Well, depends. There's a lot of people there. Could have been kids there too. I would suspect that there would be kids, but a lot of the people who would come to see Jesus would have come from the area of Galilee. Just common people come to see him. And we find that it is written about in all four Gospels, but there's things that are left unsaid in some of them. I don't know why, it's just they're not there. In John chapter 12, verse 15, it mentions nothing about cloaks. It doesn't mention anything that was done with palm branches. In Luke 19, 30, chapter 19, verse 30, it doesn't even mention branches of any kind. It just says that Jesus came into the city, and there's a lot of shouting, a lot of commotion that's going on. In Mark 11, verse 2, it says that Jesus sent two of his disciples to find a colt tied somewhere in Jerusalem. How would you like to have that job? Yeah, just go into Jerusalem. You're going to find a colt tied up somewhere and ask the owner of the colt to say that the Lord is in need of your donkey. Can we use it? There's nothing said where, well, when are you going to bring him back? It probably wasn't in their culture at that time, but it sure is in our culture, isn't it? If somebody wants to borrow something, you're going to go like, well, when's he going to come back? And why would he want a colt? Why don't you give him, here's the mother to this colt. Why don't you, here, take her. She's stronger than this colt is. No, it had to be a colt. It had never been ridden. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 2, it says that Jesus sent two disciples to find a donkey tied along with her colt. And it says a very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road. That's where we find that they spread these things out on the road. As he comes riding in, the donkey would step on these cloaks and on these clothes, what are spread out on the ground. And as he comes, there is people shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. And in the Greek, it says it was persistently shouted. It wasn't just a one-time thing. It would continue, and it continued. It never ended. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. That is the Messianic title. The Messianic title. That the Jews were looking for a coming one. Hosanna in the highest. It is specifically, literally spoken in Hebrew and Aramaic language. Hosanna means save, I pray. Sounds a lot like save the queen, save the king. But save, I pray is what it literally means. The palm branches are emblems of victory. So there's a symbol there. People waving palm branches or putting them on the road, it was one of victory. Would this make some people uncomfortable in Jerusalem, especially the establishment? Even the religious leaders would kind of go like, what's going on here? These people. The people that are there are those that saw Lazarus come back from the dead. They've heard about the miracles that Jesus did. They know that Jesus is coming. He's the king. And everyone had no problem with that, but there was some in Jerusalem that did. And we'll hear more about that later this week. When John writes his gospel, what he is really concerned about is that he wants the scripture fulfilled. What is important to John is that what is said here about Jesus, it is God's will. And that's why it's important that people see that this is God's will that is being done as he rides into Jerusalem. Jesus is God. Remember that. Don't ask me to explain it. But he is God. So here's the drama. Can you feel it already, what the drama could be? There are those who knew Lazarus and they witnessed his coming back from the dead. And they continued to tell others about this miracle that Jesus did. And so when they heard that Jesus was coming into Jerusalem, it would be the common response would be, I want to see this guy who they've been talking to us about. What does he look like? He's definitely a miracle worker. You have the Pharisees who said to one another, look how the whole world is going after Jesus. It's like everything we're trying to do is backfiring. And so it's a hyperbole, it's an exaggeration by the Pharisees that the whole world, but to them it was like everyone, it seems like they want to go to Jesus. And they were very jealous of this because they thought that these people should be going after them. They were the religious leaders. They should be paying their respects and listening to every word that they would say to them and obeying them. But they're very jealous of Jesus. And if you read the account of where Jesus brings Lazarus back from the dead, you will find in there, as you keep reading, that the Pharisees, the chief priests, they wanted to kill Lazarus as well as Jesus to stop this rumor. And it wasn't a rumor, it was fact that was taking place. But they wanted to kill Lazarus too. Now remember, the disciples did not understand what was going on here. They didn't understand it until after Jesus was glorified, which means after the resurrection. Then they kind of put this all together and go like, how could we not have seen that? But they finally did understand it after the resurrection. So a conclusion is this. What is your reaction to Palm Sunday? It's today. What's your reaction? Is it Hosanna? Or is it Holy Cow? Is it blessed is the King of Israel, or blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord? Or is it baloney? I don't believe any of it. Here is the rub. Are you ready for this? It's not with outward pomp that men meet and welcome their king. It can be women and kids as well. It's not all about the pomp, the pageantry in welcoming their king, but it's in the gentleness and humility of the people. Are they like the king who comes as one who is gentle and who brings salvation? Are they humble? That's the rub. Are you humble? Are you a humble person? It's not by the material glory that is seen, but by the power and the humility of his love and why he comes for you and for me. Jesus comes not as a tyrant or a dictator, but he comes as one riding on a donkey who is humble, gentle, and our Savior, who comes to bless us with his salvation. But this is what he will find, and this is what we will also find in our daily walk with him. With Jesus coming into Jerusalem, and we see this in other places where he did his ministry, he is often met with hatred and hostility. By people you'd be surprised about. It happens today too. Humility, gentle, and he's our Savior. That's how he comes to us. Is that your reaction to Palm Sunday? That he comes as a Savior for me today. What a Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, there is more to what we read here than what meets the eye. Thank you for showing me some of the things that I never thought of before in studying for this message today. Thank you for loving us and coming as our King. If I remember right, Lord, I believe it's also in John where Pontius Pilate says to Jesus, "You are a king then." And Jesus says, "It is as you say." Jesus would never say that himself. And when he was hung on the cross, what did they put up on top of the cross as a sign, on the sign? It says, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." And it was written in different languages. The chief priests had a problem with that, and they went to Pilate and said, "We don't want that sign up there." And Pilate said, "It is what it is. What I have written, so it shall be." And it stayed up there. So we have one who is the King of the Jews, who is coming again, as we heard in the song of the choir this morning. And we need to ask ourselves today, am I ready for when that great day comes? Am I excited about Jesus Christ? Do I have peace in my heart and my soul today? Because he came once into Jerusalem. He was ascended into heaven, and the disciples that were there were told, as you see him leave is the same way that you'll see him come back again. And so we know you're coming again, Lord. The King is coming. May we be ready by faith, in trusting and believing in him. So let us pray the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Thanks for your patience this morning. Kind of went a little long, but I realized that Dean Ramsey did not fall asleep. But let us stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Receive the benediction as we found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Amen. Karen, you may be seated.